Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 32. Atma upamyena sarvatra.
Atma upamyena sarvatra.
Samam pashiti yorjana. Sukham va yiri va dukham. Siyogi paramo mataha. Atma with his self. O Pamena, by comparison, sarvatra, everywhere, samam, equally, pashiti, sees, ya, hihu, arjuna, o Arjuna, sukham, happiness, va, or, yadi, if, va, or dukkham, distress. Sa, such. Yogi, a transcendentalist. Parama, perfect. Mataha, is considered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Purport. One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all activities of the human being, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. The perfect yogi knows that the living being who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. Because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Achatasman manusheshu kasyame priya kritamaha. In other words, the devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and this way he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection of yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. He does not envy his fellow living entities. Here is a contrast between a pure devotee and a yogi, interested only in his personal elevation. The yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place or to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as the devotee who is trying his best to turn every man towards Krishna consciousness. Atmo pamena sarvatra samam pashiti yorjana sukham vadi vadukam siyogi paramo mataha. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all living beings, both in their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Could I get a Bhagavad, the seventh canto? You know that verse where Prahlad Maharaj said that I'm not... Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said that this Krishna consciousness philosophy is the most voluminous, consisting, and exacting due to the unbreakable system of disciple succession. So there's a continuity throughout all the scriptures, all our Vaishnava scriptures, that explain the same principles in many different ways. All the great devotees, from Prahlad Maharaj to who else is Narada Muni and his followers, they're all preachers. Narada Muni is eternally a preacher, and so is Prahlad Maharaj. And as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes through the process of becoming a pure devotee. And although we generally understand sarva dharma prajaja mamekam charanam vraja, aham vang sarapapevyo mokshisyami vasujaha, that give up all varieties of religion that is materialistic religion and just surrender unto me, and in return I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. Don't fear, don't be in anxiety. In other words, generally speaking, to get out of the material world, one has to follow Krishna's instructions. And there are so many different ways we can follow Krishna's instructions. He's given instructions in Karma Yoga, and Jnana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga, and Varnashram, in many different ways. Krishna's instructed how we can regulate our lives in harmony with His laws and the laws of nature. But ultimately, Krishna says, give them all up and become a devotee of mine. There's no need for all these details about Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Astanga Yoga. Ultimately, it's all meant iti guyatama shastram, or yo, as I said the other day, yo mam eva masamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit vijante mam sarvabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. So what stands between us and Krishna is just a few doubts, like whether Krishna exists or not. Otherwise we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're wondering, well, if Krishna is God and I'm supposed to be in ecstasy, why am I not in ecstasy? I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I've been doing it for years. What's wrong with Krishna? Must be something wrong, not with me, because I'm sincere. Otherwise, how could I be here unless I was sincere? So the point is, Krishna says, Maya Satyamanat Partha Yogam Yunjanmara Shaya Asam Shayam Samagram Yatmam Ita Gyasasi Tatshinu. Hear from me, O Sena Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So doubt is, we're always hearing about doubt. So what is doubt? Doubt is essentially that, is this going to make me happy, or is that going to make me happy, or is this situation make me happy, is this situation making me unhappy? Is this person the cause of my unhappiness? Is that person the cause of my unhappiness? Are they a demon, or are they pretending to be a devotee? So many different speculations. They're all called doubt. Because as long as we're speculating, and of course speculation doesn't mean, you know, it's either A, B, and C, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That's, speculation means anything outside of Krishna consciousness is called speculation. Anytime we think something doesn't belong to Krishna, anytime we think that something's not meant for Krishna's pleasure, every time we don't think that my best interest is to utilize something for Krishna's service, that's called speculation. Because automatically we'll be thinking, is this mine or is it someone else's? Maybe it's Krishna's. Is this going to make me happy, or is this other thing going to make me happy? Am I really the real benefit? Am I the benefactor of this person or not? Should I get the credit? Or is that Krishna going to take the credit? Who should get the credit? Usually we don't think about these things because we're speculating so much. We think it's completely normal. Matter of fact, we think our mental speculation is normal. And when we try and control it, we think that it's very uncomfortable. My mind is complaining. You don't love me. I'm trying to help you. Why are you repressing me? You know how dangerous it is to repress the mind, don't you? You know how many psychological problems people get into? Trying to repress me. I'm not going to let you do it. I love you too much. I don't want you to be harmed. Besides, there are so many interesting things in the material world. You really want to deny yourself and suffer? So, the mind is our number one enemy and is going to always try to dissuade us from surrendering to Krishna and giving up these doubts. Why is it that we have doubts of Krishna's existence? Because we don't experience Krishna. And why don't we experience Krishna? Because we're covered by the illusory energy. As I said the other day, why, if you put a glove or a plastic wrapper around your tongue and then you try to eat the feast, and you can't understand why the feast has no taste this week. Everyone else seems like they're happy, but you don't seem to get any taste. Maybe it tastes like they didn't even put any sugar in the globulins this week. Matter of fact, these samosas, they taste like plastic. Who was the cook this week? So is it the prasadam? Is it our tongue? Or is it the fact that we have a plastic wrap around it? So the point is that because the soul is covered by the illusory energy, therefore he can't experience anything. As it says in that verse, Krishna Nama Charitadi, Sitata Vidya, that the holy name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendently sweet like sugar candy, although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet. But it's wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue, and his disease of avidya is gradually destroyed at its root. So in other words, if we simply chant and then try to pay some attention, try to actually chant to Krishna. Paying attention doesn't mean just pay attention. Otherwise, if we just paid attention, we'd go crazy after some time. Hare Krishna. We devotees, in the beginning, they used to go to they were trying to chant japa, and then go to the wall and hit the head against the wall. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. People walk in and think they were part of it. It was an insane asylum. You have devotees, Hare Krishna, hitting their heads on the wall. You have the temple commander going around with a squirt gun, squirting people. And devotees going, Hare Krishna. You walk in, my God, you know. Call 9/11. Where these people escape from. So we actually have to chant to Krishna. Even if we don't believe in him, still we should chant to him. Even if we don't believe Radharani's there when we're chanting, still we should try to chant to them. We should try to make it something personal. Although Maya at every step will try to dissuade us, try to convince us that you're just wasting your time. You're calling up a number that there's no one on the other end. Just leave a message. Maybe they'll return the call sometime. No, we have to put that aside and actually try to chant to Krishna happily. In other words, that's the idea of trying to chant with attention, is to try to figure out how we're chanting. Prabhupada said we should chant and try to hear ourselves sincerely chanting. So we should try to modify our chanting in such a way that we actually feel it, we think, at least, wow, sounds like I'm sincere, maybe I am sincere. I never really thought I was sincere. Beginning to sound like I'm almost convinced. I hope Krishna is. So we have to, the japa is an opportunity to do that, to actually concentrate on establishing some kind of relationship with Krishna. Now here it says that we're giving up these varieties and trying to surrender to Krishna, especially through the chanting. But then Krishna says, Idam te nata paskaya nabhaktaya kadachana nachashushushaveda vacham nachamam yopasuyate. That one should not, Idam te nata paskaya, explain the secret, the devotional service, to different classes of people. The bhaktaya, one who's not a devotee, one who's anasuyave, one who's envious, one who's not engaged in devotional service, one who's not austere, because we're just wasting our time. But that doesn't mean, but then Krishna says, ya idam paramam guyam, mad bhaktesh abhidashyati, bhakti mayi param kritva mame vaishatya samshaya. One who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, at the end he'll come back to me. In this world, there's no one more dear to me than he, nor will there anyone be more dear. So this is Madhyam Adhikar. In other words, Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion, he just didn't make it up. And if you want to find out what our philosophy is, you can only find out parts of it in Nectar Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. No, it's all consistent. This is all Madhyam Adhikari. That's what Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita. He's not preaching to the Uttam Adhikaris. He's preaching to the neophyte devotees, trying to make them Madhyam Adhikaris. And so at the end, he summarizes it all. What is a Madhyam Adhikari? It's one who tries to love Krishna. And the only way you can love Krishna is you have to hear about Krishna. So, the Madhyam Adhikari knows that actually what's the problem everyone has is not that they don't have enough money or they're going to be restricted by coronavirus. That's not the problem. Or they're going to die. That's not a problem because we're not going to die. And the body's not going to die, as I said many times, because the body's already dead. So you can't kill something that's dead. And since the soul is eternal, we can't die. So there's no real such thing as birth and death in this world. There's only an appearance. So that's not the problem. The only problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. And the only way we can associate and remember Krishna in this age is by hearing about Krishna. Very simple. We hear about Krishna, then we might go through the process of trying to remember what we heard, trying to see what we heard, and then, well, I guess what I should do is become Krishna's devotee. Lo and behold, my real identity is Krishna's devotee. So Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji. And how to become Krishna's devotee? You have to worship Krishna. So there's so many ways of worshiping Krishna. There's the nine processes, there's the five of Shravanam, Kirtana, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. And then there's the five powerful processes. So I should do these processes in order to try to become Bhava Madhbhakta, to develop some feeling towards Krishna. The whole idea of these processes is to develop some feeling towards Krishna, not just to do them, to actually get some feeling that I love Krishna, to love Krishna, Ishvara Prem. That's why we're doing these things. Not to become great intellectual scholars, so anyone who asks us any question, we can immediately defeat them, show ourselves that we know everything. No, it's actually to become a lover of Krishna, to feel for Krishna. Madhyaji, and we do that through worship and Namaskuru. And the only worship winds up, we gradually realize how wonderful Krishna is, and we begin, and how wonderful Krishna's devotees. We begin to become humble and have no interest outside of Krishna's interest. Then we can gradually give up all these things, these anarthas and the things that are holding us back, and give up this wrong association. We can actually learn how to cooperate with the devotees, give up our past unwanted association and habits. And then we'll become idam te nada paskaya, or idam, what's that? Idam te kuyatmam pravaksham anushuyave. No. Idam te nada paskaya navatmane kadachna nachashushushave vacham ichamam yobusuyate. Idam te kuyatamam. Yayidam paramam bhuyam man bhakteshma vidashati. Patimayi puram kritva mam evayashakti samshaya. Then we'll actually get interested in trying to help others become devotees. Unless we actually become devotees, our interest in helping others become devotees is not very strong. Now by the influence Prabhupada was here, by his influence, there was that feeling that Prabhupada wants it, so we should do it. They had faith that Prabhupada was in the spiritual world, and therefore we should bring other people to associate with Prabhupada and give them the opportunity to get some spiritual experience. But unless ISKCON is like a family, and unless we're taking pleasure in the family, in our relationships with each other, why in the world would anyone, we want to invite anyone into ISKCON? If ISKCON is, you know, everyone's treating each other like, you know, you treat a log floating down the river. You know, oh yeah, he's in ISKCON, yeah, sure. Watch, wow, he left ISKCON. Another one of those logs floating by. So why in the world would you ask, yeah, join this guy, you can float by here with the rest. We have the open door policy in this guy. You go in one door and you go out the other one. All the doors are open. So there has to be some kind of family spirit, and then people will become interested. Loving spirit. People are not attracted. You know, we got the best philosophy. If you don't believe us, we're going to hit you on the head and go, here, philosophy, Krishna's God. You believe it? Ah, oh, I surrender this. You're right, he's God, my God. I think I'll surrender to Shiva, though. No, out of love, people will come and, you know, become Krishna conscious. If they actually have a friendly, loving relationship with the devotees, if people actually want people to become devotees. And we can't think that everyone was always in that mood. As I said, when I went to the one feast, and I think it was in 61 Second Avenue, after they moved out of 26 Second Avenue in New York, and I was home from the university, and I went down to the temple to attend the Sunday feast, and everyone lined up for the Sunday feast. So I lined up with everyone else, and by the time they got to the guests, all the prasadam was gone. The devotees were really hungry. Sunday feast was the only day that you really satisfied your unlimited desires. So it was all gone as I came there hoping to eat something. Luckily, one of the devotees took me in the back and gave me 5 or 6 simply wonderful that survived. I mean, you could imagine how much prasadam devotees used to eat. This is a side thing. One time I came back to university, it was Ramachandra's appearance day. I went to the temple. My parents were living in Brooklyn, so I went to visit my parents and I went to the temple. And in Manhattan, I walked in there and it was, they fast until moonlight. And Brahmananda ran up to me and he grabbed me and he picked me. Brahmananda was a big guy. He grabbed me and picked me up and he said, "Did you do it?" I said, "Well, what did I do?" He said, "Did you do it?" I said, "What?" He said, "Did you fast?" I said, "Yeah." Wow. And then they had this feast, and the first, they had these plates, and they put the prasadam on the plate, and literally, there was a mountain of prasadam for first. I mean, a mountain of prasadam. And that was first. And then the second mountain came. First was Govardhan, and next was Kailash. And some people got up to Mount Everest. Somehow or another, devotees really like prasadam more than they do now. In any case, the love is actually what attracts people. If people, if they feel like they're part of a family, then they'll actually become attracted. That people have some interest in them, they want them to become devoted. Not that, my God, another devotee. It used to be, you know, devotees for the Sunday feast. If too many people came, they were worried there wouldn't be enough seconds for us. So, as we know, before they'd serve out prasadam, the servers would make a massive amount of prasadam on their plates, just to be sure. And sometimes they would be praying that no one would come to the Sunday feast, because that way they get more. So that kind of attitude is not very good. It's not recommended. You should make enough prasadam that there's more than necessary for everyone. But you have to understand that Sunday feasts weren't, I don't know what the Sunday feasts are like now, but they were really opulent. They had malpur, samosa, gulab jamun, sweet rice, halva, curd sabjis, sweet and sour, you know, every jalebis, all in one feast. I mean, I was a cook for some time, I was a head cook. You know who my assistant cook was? It was in Dallas. First I was the temple president, then they made me the treasurer, but I didn't get along with the president. So I was the Sankirtan leader. And then they made me the head cook. Do you know who my assistant was? No, no. He came, he was in Buffalo. What? No, no, Cormoran, he was in Australia. Pierre Krishnamurti. You ask him, he's a friend. And I'd start this, we'd start preparing for the Sunday feast on Saturday or Friday. Because it was so opulent. Yeah, we made the, at night we made the sweet rice. I make the gulab jamuns, you know, the day before, and the malpur. We get ready, and we used to make rasgullas, and you know, it was a whole, I mean, literally the whole day. And we had it down, and then following Prabhupada, we had to clean up the kitchen before the, you know, serving the feast. So it was all very scientifically done. Preparation, all the recipes were on the board, and all the ingredients were there prepared. And at the end, everything was, as we were cooking, we were cleaning at the same time. It was all, and sir, that whole serving was really expert. What's that? Well, we cooked just around maybe 30, 40, 50. That was the devotee. Then we got guests also. That was actually, it was a fairly big temple.
Is the Brooklyn still has about 15, 16
preparations for something? Not for 100 minutes. Where? East Brooklyn. Last September. Okay. Well, good. I don't need to study feet, so I wouldn't know. I used to go down there to preach, but it's not like the old days though. I mean, they have some good cooks. They have some good cooks in Brooklyn. They used to, but it wasn't like the old days. The quality, especially. Anyhow, that's not the point. The point was, we should want people to come. We should want them to become devotees, and then people will come and become devotees. If you want people to come, they'll come. If you go on book distribution, yeah, come to the feast, you know. Don't come too early, because, you know. Especially don't come to the class, because you'll fall asleep. But we really want you to come. No, we actually used to make an effort. We used to call people up and ask them if they were coming over. We really want you to come. We have this play. We have this feast. And so-and-so is giving a lecture. And people would come. Not everyone would come, but people would come and they'd come back. And some of them became devotees after some time. Question?
Yeah.
because we actually wanted people to come devoted. We needed people to clean the pots after the feast. So, and the whole thing is that Krishna is our friend, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller. We have to become convinced of that. And then we can invite people to come. And if we make people into devotees, and we have a nice relationship with them, then we won't like the non-devotees so much. We won't admire them so much for their expertise in the illusory energy. Unless we develop loving relationships, friendly relationships with the devotees, then we'll admire the material expertise of the non-devotee, how they're able to manipulate material energy from their bodies to the for the cars or the computers, whatever they're doing, which are all based upon not necessarily creating the most personal, loving relationships, but they're able to do wonderful things with the illusory energy. And we may admire that. But once we stop admiring that, we see it's all an attempt just to exploit people rather than actually help people, then we learn detachment from those upeksha, from those non-devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
How come, even though Krishna saved us so many times and he made such amazing arrangements in our life, but still we think that he's not there? How can that be?
Well, because, as I said, Maya is just as powerful as Krishna in the material energy. Otherwise, how, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, that we're not this body, that the body is changing, but we're not changing, how could we possibly still think that we're changing? But that's the power of illusion. Because the illusion covers our intelligence, therefore we don't see things as they actually are. We see illusion. That's our experience. And if we follow, we hear from Krishna and his representatives, remember what they said, understand what they said, and then apply it, then Krishna will take the illusion away gradually. And we'll actually experience Krishna. Because it has to be experienced. Not only Krishna is a deity, but Krishna everywhere. He's everywhere. So how much do, you know, if we act as if Krishna is not, then we may think, all right, when we come to the temple, oh Krishna, yes. I do have a few requests here and there. But you're the super soul, so you know, so I don't really even have to pray to you. Just have to remind you a little bit something. But it's not Krishna, he's everywhere. So we have to gradually work in this world as if Krishna is everywhere, and then he'll reveal himself as if he's everywhere. But if we're working in the world, if he's only in, you know, in the temple, we come to me as Krishna. I do know a few couple of things, but you know, I love you. And I love your energy too. I'll make you a deal. No, we have to act as if Krishna is everywhere, and then we'll be able to see Krishna a little bit more. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote to me one time. I wrote him a letter about how Baba turns into prema. I asked him a question, how Baba turns into prema, and he wrote me back this letter about preaching from the Bhagavad Gita and Rath Yatra in San Francisco. At the end, he wrote to me, he said, the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all his blessings upon you, that Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So we have to act towards everyone as if we're trying to help them come back to Godhead. We have to have every relationship we have should be based upon trying to help them become Krishna conscious. That's the only valid relationship. Everything else is just puts in us in Maya. Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aga Gurahana Tari Desh. Wherever we meet, we're supposed to tell them about Krishna somehow or another. Then we'll experience Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. Not that we, one moment we'll see Gaura Nitai and the Panchatattva will be in ecstasy, and Krishna Prema will look around, will see another devotee and say, wow, I remember what you did to me yesterday, boy. Are you going to get it? Only time separates us. No, it's not possible. Is that right?
You mentioned Madhyam Adhikaris showing love to Krishna, and it's often puzzling. Madhyam Adhikari is still practicing, but the prescription, the instruction is Ishvare Tadinashu
Prema.
Prema, yes. That he has to cultivate or show or offer prema to Ishvara, but prema usually, in our understanding, is the goal of his practice. So what does it mean that a Madhyam Adhikari offers prema to the Lord?
Well, prema comes in different gradations. Adau, Shada, Tata, Sada, Sangha, Yabhajna, Kriya, Anartha, Nirvitisya, they're all part of the development of faith, which leads to prema. So there are different aspects of faith. Faith is different aspects of prema. Faith in Krishna. As Prabhupada, one time I sent, it was at Vishvasakori, Sruida Nishchai, Krishna Bhakti Kaila, Sarukama Krita Hai. Firm faith that Krishna is, one is meant to serve Krishna, that's what faith means. And I should just serve Krishna. That's the basis of prema. One time I sent Srila Prabhupada some money for his book fund, and he wrote me back, thank you very much for this contribution of love. So from Krishna's point of view, even a little service we're doing is a manifestation of our love. But when we do it, simply whatever little we can do, simply to try to please Krishna, that Krishna takes that as the seed of prema working on that platform. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, for the first time, I mean, at least for me, you've revealed what you were asking your spiritual master. So, but it's a bit puzzling for me. Why were you asking this question? Your spiritual master.
Why? How Krishna turns into, how Baba turns into prema?
If you are willing to answer.
No. Well, when I joined the movement, I had many transcendental experiences. So, but then when I was actually a student, I liked to read. I studied so many things before I joined. And when I joined, the devotees in the temple didn't want to read. Because my roommate from before, when he caught me reading, although I was still going to school, so I had to read something, but when he caught me reading Prabhupada's books, he got on my case. Why are you wasting your time reading these books? And then my temple president told me that I saw a book, it was called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. My Rupa Goswami had my temple president had it, and we were sleeping. We had a very small temple, and in this little tiny room there was that book. And he told me, you can't read that book. I said, oh, really? So I said, well, that's the book I got to read. So at night when everyone was asleep, I'd get up and I'd read the book. I had Jiva Goswami's commentaries, and it was quite nice. So I got up to, send Prabhupada some Lakshmi, so I was reading about the 17th and 18th chapter, 19th chapter of the Bhagavad, which was the Nectar of Devotion, and it was talking about how Bhava turns into prema, but I couldn't quite understand what, because Jiva Goswami's explanations, I mean, the translation wasn't so good, so I wanted to get it confirmed by Prabhupada. So I wrote him the question to just get clarification on it. And then Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, there's no need to trouble yourself over such advanced topics at the present time. Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.